Nordstrom is here to help you dress in a way that feels totally you with the best spring styles. From boho dresses and matching sets to must-have bags and sneakers, discover thousands of items from lots of your favorite brands like Mango, Reformation, Veronica Beard, and Farm Rio. It's easy, too, with free shipping and returns, in-store order pickup, and more. Shop today, in stores and at Nordstrom.com.
Welcome to Island Crimes and Mysteries. And now, it's time to join your host, Newells, for another episode.
Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Ireland Crimes and Mysteries. I want to thank you for joining me today, and if you're a returning listener, I want to say a big thank you for your continued support. If this is your first time listening to my podcast, welcome. It's great to have you on board. So without further ado, let's get started on today's story.
So, back by popular demand, we have Ciarán McConnell. Hey Ciarán.
Thanks. I didn't know by popular demand, but thanks very much.
Yes, I had very, very good reviews on the last time I had you on. People were loving our chat and they were saying, when's Ciarán coming back? So,
yeah, no, I listened back myself. Yeah, it went well, right?
It did. It went really well. So it did. And how are things going with you? How's your podcast going?
Yeah, it's going good. I think we're about 16 or 17 episodes in now. So, yeah, it's good working away at it anyway. So,
hopefully. Brilliant. Brilliant. The Cliff's Edge, guys, in case you haven't listened to it yet, it's great. Go over, himself and Shane are fantastic.
Well, thanks for that, Newell.
Anyway, I said I get you back now after everything that happened there in November with the JoJo, because we mentioned JoJo, obviously, in the last podcast that we did together. And I said I have to ask Ciarán what his thoughts and everything are on what happened in November with the arrest and of the suspect and the release without charge. And the dig and everything.
Yeah. You should know, it's much like you, right? I was shocked. I just got people started sending me stuff. I don't know if that was the case with you as well.
My phone blew up that day, so it did.
Now, to be honest, when I heard who the person was that was arrested, I actually wasn't surprised by that, but I was surprised that they were arrested and that they did a search, because the case, it was upgraded to murder in 2020, right? Wasn't it?
That's right.
So, like,
yep.
It wasn't. Obviously, instantly, as soon as they upgraded the case to murder, so
you wonder, some witnesses come forward or some new evidence because it's a big deal to go in and arrest somebody, isn't it?
Yeah, and also, like, the actual, did you see the extent they went to a search? Like, the whole place was dug up, and it was a month they were searching for, so the funding for that will be astronomical.
Absolutely.
It was disappointing, though, that they got released and that they didn't find anything.
Yeah, I remember when I was looking at the photographs from the area, and they had dug up all around the ditch line of, I don't know if you've seen those photographs around.
It was in the Sunday Row.
Yeah. And I remember when I was doing the podcast at the time, that was seemingly that farm. They were doing something with the ditches. They were digging drains or something. And I'm wondering, was that the reason why that area around the perimeter of the field was dug?
I think they were also searching around what would be known as like a rubbish dump or a tip or something on the farm. So I wonder were they actually searching for a single bit of evidence or something, like not necessarily a body, if there was something they could find in the rubbish that they could tie to JoJo. But like, how many years are you going back like through a dump? I suppose it's crazy.
What I was thinking there is her Walkman, which would have been made of plastic. Plastic sure lasts forever. So that's what
And it's interesting you bring up the Walkman, because they only brought that up. They only released information about the Walkman in 21 or 2020. They never really mentioned it before, and they put out the picture. So I always wondered if it was connected. Like, how come all of a sudden after whatever it would be, like 25, 26 years, that they bring out the information about the Walkman?
Yeah, actually, now that you say it, I mean, there was never an association with a Walkman before. I'm wondering, did somebody maybe come forward that had seen her that night, maybe in Bruxelles or something, say, oh yeah, she had her Walkman with her? You know, the way you kind of stuff that you think is really insignificant at the time and might have been said on a kind of just in passing.
So I think also when they upgrade the case to murder, they basically start from the beginning. So I think they go through all the statements again, and maybe the Walkman, like, just got left behind or didn't get looked at when they took the original statements. But I presume in 95, like, it wasn't computerized, the investigation.
No.
No, so Yeah, so the Walkman could have been buried in some statement or something that, like, one of her friends could have said, oh, when she was in Brussels, she had a Walkman with her, which makes sense because she got the bus up, so you'd bring your Walkman, right?
Yeah.
Have one.
Yeah, we all had one back in the day, the Sanyo.
Yeah, they're big chunky thing, so they're not going to get destroyed. But I think the cards also appeal for people that may have received the actual Walkman as a gift.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that now. Yeah, I mean, there's also, they're now looking at those photographs. I'm taking everything from the photographs, and there was a kind of an aerial shot of that farm. And there was an awful lot of forestry, is what it looked like to me, trees. And somebody was saying to me that they didn't look very old. Were they after Jojo, you know, disappeared?
Yeah, because apparently that was one of the local rumours, that she was buried on an area that, like, then they put in saplings or whatever over it. Because I think I remember reading somewhere, watching on a documentary, that apparently, like, if you do that, like, the roots from the trees and all completely distort, like, the body, and then also the search is just an absolute nightmare for the police. Like, yeah.
Yeah. And, like, there was, I mean, it's a forest basically there. Where do you even begin to? Do you knock every tree in the place, or do you know?
Yeah. And then the radar will be very hard because it will be all, like, the trees, obviously, roots pushing down and pushing up. So you couldn't be like, oh, the earth here is a bit, like, you know, flattened down underneath and stuff. That could just be explained by the trees. But then there's also, I think, another rumor that it was she was buried under a house at the time, like they were building a house and then they stopped and then they started building it again or something. So there's obviously a lot of local theories.
Yeah. I wonder, you know, those two houses that were searched, they didn't look very old, do you know? I wonder, was one of them the house?
We presume, like, when they actually got the warrant to search the houses on the land, that they probably went after everything they heard. Like, you know, if they heard, oh, the body was buried under the house or it was in a well, they might as well follow them things up while they had the warrant, right?
Absolutely.
And also, they were there for a month, so you would hope, like, everything was checked, you know?
Yeah. And they brought in seemingly anthropologists and loads of different forensic people. They had the cadaver dogs, you know, they did really go all out. So, I mean, I don't know, all along though, while it was going on, I just had a feeling in the pit of my stomach. Now, I could be wrong, they could have found something and they're not telling us, but I just had a feeling that they weren't going to find anything. It just looked so vast, the area.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, that they might have found something, but if they find anything that ties that land or the property owner or whatever to Jojo, well, then they're a stranger to her, so
yeah,
you know, you can't really explain that one. But
it would have been a rearrest.
Yeah, but they did say that they did establish some leads from the arrest and the searching of the land.
Yeah, I find that mind-boggling though, Ciarán. That's like, people come forward after all those years, you know, like, if you had the information, you had the information 29 years ago.
See, I think the issue there is, right, so say that when the case originally started, Jojo was just considered, obviously, a missing person. So when you go to investigate potential witnesses or people that are given false alibis or even a suspect, as you may see it, it's very hard to investigate them because you're not actually investigating for a crime. So you can't just, like, knock on their house and be like, oh, you know, X, Y, and Z, or start following them, because for what, like, what's your... You can't arrest a person because there's no body or it's no murder inquiry. So I'd wonder there is, like, when they upgraded the case in 2020, did the detectives or whoever it may have been, they were actually probably able to go out and start putting some pressure on potential witnesses and so on. So something like it came from that.
Came out of that, maybe.
Yeah, because basically 2020 is like a new investigation. Once they upgraded it, everything starts from anew there. So it means they can go out as if it was 95 and start knocking on doors, yeah?
Yeah. And
which probably didn't happen, and that didn't happen probably before, so a few people probably would have got a bit worried or, you know, scared. Yeah.
That is very true, actually. And of course, they wouldn't have been able to get warrants either to do any of what they did.
Yeah, because Jojo's sister, it's no secret, like, she was long campaigning for this actual land to be searched, this specific place, so...
That's right. I remember watching her actually I can't even remember what it is. I mean, it's years ago now, and she was literally standing on the road outside the ditch of that place saying that she thought that Jojo was in there. I wonder
what can the guards do? Yeah.
I wonder what made her think that though. What did she Or what did she hear that made her think that?
There is a lot of news about the Jojo case that came out recently, but it's also old news. So I remember at the time, there was actually a letter written to Mary Phelan from a woman saying that she believed her partner killed Jojo and that they were more than capable of this. Okay. I think that was very soon after Jojo went missing. So I don't know if the letter named a specific person and that's how she found out. But yeah, I suppose Mary Phelan actually, in a sense, she investigated the case herself. So she went out and around and started asking things. And
yeah. Yeah. She did. She was, I mean, till the day she died, I suppose, she was the strongest advocate for the case, wasn't she?
Yeah. And I suppose the fact the suspect was one of the last people to be seen with Jojo, I suppose Mary Phelan was privy to that information, and there were said to be conflicting statements.
Came forward himself. He wasn't approached by the RD. This is in 95 I'm talking about now.
Yeah, I think it was only a very few days after. Like, and he actually gave, there was reports in the paper where he's named and so on at the time. Like, and he just said that was it, yeah. But something had to come forward further then for him to be, like, arrested. But I think Alan Bailey, you know, the guy who worked on Operation Trace, he said that he would have considered the person a suspect, but he said the same thing we were saying, that because she was just a missing person, they couldn't actually even interrogate him.
Okay, so of course. Sure, it makes sense, I suppose, because you're not investigating a murder. You're just wanting to find out where the person is.
You're basically hoping that the suspect helps your investigation. That's all you can really kind of ask them for, yeah.
And that the missing person is still alive.
Yeah.
That's the kind of way they're thinking of it, like, you know, when they're investigating, isn't it? They're coming at it that we're trying to find the person alive after 20 years.
That's the protocol. Obviously, deep down, they know, like, well, it's a protocol. That's the way they have to launch the investigation. Because obviously, if the person never ends up going to court and all these things, like, that can come back to bite them, man.
Yeah, yeah. He seemingly, when he said he was the last person to, the suspect I'm talking about now, said he was the last person to see Jojo. That was in Moon, wasn't it?
Yeah, because I think an elderly man picked her up in Nace and he brought her to another village in Kildare. The name slips my mind. And yeah, I think we said it before last time, he told her to, like, seek accommodation in the town and not to be out hitchhiking. But yeah, apparently the suspect then picked her up from that town and dropped her to Moon. And apparently then there were some conflicting statements in a story, like, and he gets arrested 30 years later, yeah.
No, 30 years later. So you'd wonder then, if he dropped her to Moon and she was in the phone box talking to her friend and then said, oh, hold on, I've got a lift to somebody outside, would she not have recognised the car if he just literally dropped her off?
Actually, I've had this thought myself, so I wondered, like, hypothetically, if he tells her, oh, I have to go quickly do something, but I'll come back and get you later, she would have told her friend that on the phone.
Yes.
Then it's the same car pulls up. I think because it's dark, right, she's in the phone box, there's no light at all, whatever, in Moon, so she might just see the car slow, like, she sticks her thumb out and the car slows down, she mightn't actually recognize the model of the car. How updated is she on, like, models of cars and stuff? You wouldn't
know. Yeah.
But as I said, but this obviously is a single suspect arrested in this case. But you remember the report that the woman seen her getting into the back of the car?
Yes, and that there was two people involved.
Yeah, the getting into the back of the car would imply that. And then I'm wondering as well, you know, the Waterford sighting from the taxi man who seen the woman running out of the car and the guy dragging her back in. And there was definitely two guys there at that time. I wonder what became of that. Is that connected to the recent investigation?
Like, when I was doing the podcast at the time and there was all these witnesses coming forward saying they'd seen this girl here being dragged into a car there and then the girl running naked down the village. And all in the one night? They couldn't all be these different girls being attacked in the same general area, you could say.
Well, it's a remote place. Like, it's not exactly the centre of New York. Like, what's the population in the radius? It's tiny, yeah. So you'd have to think, this is the truck driver guy. You'd have to consider that to be connected. But that was also after the case got upgraded to murder. So you'd wonder if that had something to do with recent defense as well.
And he seemingly came forward back then.
That at the time, yeah.
And like you were saying earlier about everything being buried under a load of paperwork, and he couldn't understand, he said, why anybody hadn't come back to him. Because, I mean, that is quite significant if you've seen a young girl that matched her description running naked, screaming. I mean...
It's Mull. I think 300 people live there, so it's hard. If it's connected to another person that lives there, surely that could be found out straight away. If this is a regular thing, which I don't think it would be.
No.
And the woman was highly distressed as well, because I think they went over to try and help her. But I suppose, obviously, if they went over to help her, they probably got a good look at what she looked like. So I wonder, could they identify her as JoJo?
But she ran off. There's so many different stories going about. Do you think that story does carry weight, though?
Yeah, I think so, because if it's Moon, if he's got the village correct, and I think it is correct, because it was the same phone box that he rang the guards from, wasn't it?
That's
correct. So he rang, that was on the records from the telephone in Mill, so it did happen in Mill. I was just wondering if he might have got it, because there's so many of them small villages, so the location's correct, the light is correct, so...
So you'd wonder then, so was he attacking her then in the car, when he got her into the car there in the village?
Instantly, yeah. I'm just actually thinking now as you're saying that. So why would she still be in Moon? But it is the time correspondent as well. So
I can't remember exactly. It was during the night. It was late at night when he was driving through the village. I know that.
I think there was an issue as well around that time that the clocks went back or forward, whatever it is that time of year. And I think they thought his time was actually an hour out, but it turned out he hadn't actually changed the little clock on his dash cam in his truck.
Okay.
Some time lost as well, yeah. But I suppose one of the other things I suppose we should bring up is, there was a lot going around about the suspect, that they're wealthy and they have political connections and so on and so forth. And that's true. Like, it's not hard to find out who his family is and so on. But I don't think this had anything to do with, derailing or stopping the investigation at all. That would shock me.
There was a lot online when I was reading there in the last in November when it was all going on, about people saying that it was brushed under the carpet, and that a certain political party had quietened it, basically. I don't know, that I think that's very conspiracy theorist or whatever you want to call it. I don't know, could they get away with that?
I would be absolutely shocked. Maybe for something like smoking weed, crime like that, you could probably pull a few favors, but I would highly doubt for the murder of a 21-year-old woman, and the eyes of the country were on the case as well. But I think we can also, take some actual examples that are similar to this. So say you could take the Ciara Breen case from Dundalk, or the Fiona Sinha case from Wexford. The guards have arrested their partners, I think, both times twice.
Really?
They have their suspicions or whatever. And these people are not wealthy. They're not connected to any politicians or anything. And they have also not been convicted. So, and you can think of many other cases where people who aren't rich or connected are getting away with the crime because the body hasn't been found. And it's the exact same case in the JoJo case.
As you said, that they weren't rich. There's just no reason why. I couldn't understand that would be a thing, because, I mean, it would be the end of the party for starters. The person's relative that was in the party wasn't even that high up in the party. It wasn't like he was, one of the top.
They weren't actually, their political career then wasn't really based in Ireland either.
No.
Circumstances, there was no body found. It wasn't actually a murder investigation at the time, and that applies, as you said, to a few other cases, where it's not people of means that are getting away with it.
Absolutely. And I mean, the person's relative is well dead, I think, now anyway. Do you know what I mean? So, and I don't think that's an actual reason at all. That I just think, as you said, it was because it was a missing person case at the time, and the powers that you get that are from a murder case and a missing person case are like oil and water, really, aren't they?
It's as you said, the investigation completely starts again, and you can start properly interrogating people. But again, you're launching the murder investigation fresh, but you know the body hasn't been found for 30 years. So
yeah. And that's like when I was interviewing Milda Keenan's niece, she was saying the same thing. You know, it's hard when there's no body there, basically, to get any kind of convictions or anybody arrested.
Oh, and you'd wonder, like, with the JoJo case, is this kind of their last swing at it? Because they're not going to be able to rearrest this person until serious evidence emerges or search their land again. Like,
yeah, that's the worrying thing, isn't it? That this is the last chance saloon, unless somebody comes forward.
That's actually, did you see that they also brought witnesses to the dig site?
That's right, they did, yeah. Who were these witnesses? You'd love to know, wouldn't you? But obviously, I know they can't be given too much away. They need anonymity.
That's it as well. And then also, she said, look, the search was massive. You would think if they were ever going to find anything, it was Ben, yeah.
You'd wonder what the logic, though, was behind bringing the witnesses there. Were these witnesses to something that happened on that land that night? And they were bringing them back to show them where they saw what they saw? Or, you know, what was the reason bringing them there?
That's a very good question. Because, like, what if you saw anything, what you would have witnessed, obviously, was a murder, considering it's a murder investigation. So, I suppose, but there was, obviously, again, back to the local talk at the time, wasn't there a lot of things about diggers on certain areas of the land being used around the time?
That's what I'm saying. They were meant to have been digging drains. There was drainage being done around the ditches, I think, at the time.
Bringing people back to try and look at the area that they were digging. Seems it fairly hard.
It could be JCB drivers or something. Where exactly were you digging, do you think? On those
good point. People that could have been working on the job, they bring back. Yeah, that's a very good point, too.
Yeah. Do you know, but like land and terrain and all that, I mean, nearly 30 years, things can change, you know, an awful lot in 30 years.
No. And I suppose, were you shocked when the arrest came in and it wasn't Larry Murphy? Did that surprise you?
It was, because I think we were alluding to him maybe being the person in the last. I was actually. I was shocked for starters because it was only 2 days after the anniversary.
Yeah.
You know,
they seem to like to do things now on the anniversaries, the guys like the Annie McCarry thing, that all came out on her anniversary as well. Could be the social media world we live in, I suppose, or something.
Maybe, yeah. And like, as you think when they'd have the information, I suppose maybe they didn't want to, they were hoping maybe somebody would come forward on the anniversary and give them maybe that little extra bit.
Yeah. But I suppose with Larry Murphy now, I never thought that he was responsible for this case, but I suppose even with the arrest, and the person being released, he's still Larry Murphy, I suppose, shouldn't really be ruled out as a person of interest, but I suppose it's unlikely.
No, because his home place is relatively, you know, nearby, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously, it could be coincidence, but it's not that far from where JoJo actually went missing in Moon.
No, it is a very good point. And also, but I don't think Larry Murphy anything's ever came out about him being known to pick up hitchhikers, right? And usually guys who, when they pick up women to kill or whatever, are hitchhiking. I think they have a history of picking women up and not harming them or maybe slightly harming them and stuff. Like, it'd be something they regularly do. Like, I don't think any evidence has ever came out that Larry Murphy was picking up hitchhikers ever.
Yeah.
But as long as you can never rule out the chance that he thought he seen an opportunity or something like that, you know?
That's it, you see. And an urge, you know? Like we were saying when we were talking about what could and may have happened to Deirdre Jacob, like, you know? I mean...
Yeah, I think Larry Murphy, the impression you get with him is he's honing in on specific women that, for whatever reason, take his fancy. Because I'm pretty sure the Carlo incident, he was seen for a few days around the shop before that. Yeah. And I think Deirdre Jacob was generally following kind of like a routine, so.
Yeah. So he knew.
He's a stalker, I think that's very.
So we could kind of rule him out. So, like, I mean, do you think the guards are on the right trail?
I've always, because I've always thought that, basically this person had to be arrested and investigated because they gave, I think it's been reported, obviously, that they gave conflicting statements at the time and they were the last person to see JoJo, obviously not the last person to speak to her, that was her friend, but yeah, you'd have to,
Yeah.
It's like they have to, I'm sure, like, you know, the old guy or whatever that picked her up, like, they ruled him out as a suspect, and they ruled other people that came across her that night out as suspects, and they couldn't rule him out.
Yeah, they can't rule him out, can they? And I read somewhere as well, when all this was going on in November, he told the guards that he was attending the psychiatric services now. Did you hear that?
Yeah, that's what I heard. Now, that's the first time I ever heard anything about that, because obviously the person's name was known for a long time because of the newspaper reports, but with very little on their actual background. Oh yeah, the psychiatric thing is strange, but I don't think the guards can actually get access to that.
Would they need a warrant again? Like,
well, that's it, but also there's probably like doctor-patient confidentiality going on there. Yeah, I suppose it could be just that someone who works at a mental health facility, like, or whatever, says that, oh, you know, this person has been getting mental health treatment lately, and the paper reported it. But yeah, it's a strange one. But then they're also, it seems like they're trying to harp on people's conscience on this one, but doesn't it? So,
and I was thinking then when I read that, I was kind of going, you know, the way a lot of people that are arrested and all that, that's what they go straight, that's their go-to kind of defense.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not a new thing at all, but they obviously don't suspect this person for anything else, any other crimes, and there's never been a mention of that with them. So you'd wonder, like, is it some, they actually are guilty over this, and that's why they arrested them now, to try and, they knew that they were going for the psychiatric help, so maybe they thought that they were feeling guilty about this or whatever, and they wanted to relieve their, yeah, well, unfortunately not, though.
He didn't. And no. He was there for how long, 48 hours?
Yeah, they actually managed to able to extend. They got an extension, the 24-hour extension, yeah. But if he has a solicitor, like...
So it's no comment the whole way through.
Yeah, like, I imagine he has a solicitor, right?
Oh, as we were saying earlier, he comes from a wealthy background, so I'm presuming a solicitor wouldn't be an issue for him.
No.
Yeah, and you see then when it's no comment, and if you have no evidence, you're at nothing really, are you?
No, and then they're saying, like, they've never actually put up a reward for the JoJo case, have they?
Not to my knowledge. There's been lots of, obviously, appeals over the years, but I never heard of a cash reward or anything for information.
No, and, like, this is something me and Shane have actually discussed. The state should be putting up, like, €500,000 here to seek information. But definitely, like, all the cases, the Imelda Keenan case is another one, as you recently covered, and all, there should be like $500,000 rewards on these things. It's not like we know how much money Ireland has these days.
Yeah, and I don't think the taxpayers now, to be fair, would begrudge that.
No.
It would be good use of taxpayers' money, actually, wouldn't it?
Oh yeah, like, good luck protesting against that, like. But also it helps the investigation. So say if they put out the money and a few people come forward, and then they can say, oh, there's like multiple people involved, most likely. But if nobody comes forward and it's like £1 million, you can say this is just one person. And it...
Yeah, absolutely. That's actually very good. Yeah, definitely. Because, I mean, if you knew something and you were keeping it, and somebody said to you, we're offering £1 million or even $250,000, sure, you know, you're going to come forward, aren't you? I mean, it's a lot of money.
Everything has their price and all that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Now, unless obviously you're terrified.
That's why I think the guards have also been saying that, like, you know, people get older. I think a lot with the Vanishing Triangle cases, I think that's a lot of the hope the guards are actually holding out on these, that the people that done it, like, and the people covering for them, just see that they're getting older and they don't fear them, or they're coming closer to the end and they want to clear their conscience.
Deathbed confessions.
Yeah. Because I think in a few of the cases, they were actually hoping on that recently enough in one of the cases, but no, didn't happen.
No. It's unbelievable. Because, like, you think they would at that stage, like, they've nothing left to lose. But some people then just like to, they probably are thinking, if they're that warped in their heads, probably thinking, look, I'm dying, let them keep suffering, you know. They get a thrill as well out of seeing the family suffering. They obviously do, like.
And then, like, they probably want their reputation preserved after death. But also, like, a lot of the, I think in the Philip Kearns case, the Eamon Crook deathbed thing, like, apparently, like, he was heavily sedated when he was talking about these things. So, like, that's another thing. A lot of people in these situations, unfortunately, they're pumped full of painkillers. And
it would never stand up then. Could be hallucinating, like.
Yeah. So unless they give, like, some hard evidence at that stage, well, it seems like.
And I think, yeah, did he have Alzheimer's or something at that stage, or... Did I totally dream that up?
I think Cook actually he ended up with cancer, but obviously when he was towards the end or whatever, they're just doping him up with the morphine. Yeah. There.
Yeah. That's another case that we'll have to talk about another day, because that's another one that really kind of plays on my mind.
Yeah, it's another young person, like, because you know, a lot of cases we've been through, like Cara Breen, Deirdre Jacob and Joe, they're all like under 22 years of age. Like,
yeah. And what really gets me is that none of them have turned up. Not one solitary one of them has turned up after all these years.
Strange, because you can see the way like people were obviously talking that, oh, this must be one person responsible for these, because they're all happening like from Annie McCarrick in 93 to Deirdre Jacob in 98. It's a five year period. Like, that's what, 2019 to now. Like, so if what, eight women went missing around the greater Dublin area in since 2019, because of the internet now and all that, everybody will be out shouting,
oh my God,
all the serial offender. Yeah.
So, I mean, I remember it at the time, sure. I remember when it was all happening and, you know, it was a big deal now at the time. And that was prior to, as you said, the internet. Do you know, we were all kind of very mindful of the fact that, you know, these girls were going missing, you know, especially when we're going out at night and all that kind of stuff. Because Ireland is a small place.
That's it. And Jojo was the only one that was actually last seen hitchhiking. So it wasn't actually an MO. If there was a single person responsible for this going around picking up hitchhikers, was not an MO, because it's the only case where the person was actually last seen hitchhiking. Yeah.
Yeah. And he was last seen, like, there's a lot.
Oh, well, they need to think now most likely at home. And that goes for actually nearly the vast majority of cases that they were last seen at their home. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which usually implies someone known to them.
Absolutely. Well, I think now from all the digging and talking to you and talking to other people, I'm of the opinion that a lot of them are a lot closer to home. The majority of them, actually.
Yeah. And now it looks like also Jojo is obviously, it wasn't a serial offender that was responsible for Jojo. Yeah.
Just an opportunist.
To live with this for so long, it's like, yeah. So burden themselves, like, you know, like if they had to confess at the time, they'd be out of prison by now.
Well, if you went on and lived a life, you know, they got married and they had children and all this was in the background. They were carrying this secret.
Like, they should confess for the sake of their children, because their children are going to be like persecuted with this for the rest of their lives if they want to stay in where they're from, and there will always be known about them. So you would, why not for the sake of their kids unburden them of this, like, you know? Because you've already, they're going to have to know, like, if you confess or whatever, that their parent is a murderer. But also, they can somewhat get on with their life after that. Composed. Like, now they're just going to constantly face, like, questions, you know? Yeah. And forever in their mind, they're just going to be wondering, did their parent commit this crime? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And people, and just being associated, you know, that's the son of so-and-so, or that's the daughter, you know? That's the way, yeah, you're right. They should confess. If they have something to confess, they should be doing it for the sake of their own children, their own family.
Because when they die, the suspect, like, their kids are going to carry this.
Yeah. It'll be generational trauma. So, yeah, so we basically just have to wait, I suppose, now and see if anything comes in the next few months.
And, like, you know, to be too negative about these things, but, like, I think if you go through the cases, Ciara Breen, Fiona Sinnott, Fiona Pender, Marie Kilmartin, there's been like several arrests in the past, and some of the arrests were like 30 years ago.
Yeah.
The case still has followed, yeah.
Yeah. And nothing kind of came of any of them.
No, but I suppose the main thing is to be positive on the Jojo case, that it's actually like serious progress for the first time probably ever.
Absolutely. I think the country as a whole was holding its breath when we got that news, do you know?
But sure, our missing person poster is like, it's actually in my local Garda station. It's still in every Garda station, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, everybody wants this solved.
Yeah.
So, well, hopefully, if there's somebody there with any little tiny bit of information that they want to get off their chest, would you please just do the honourable thing and do that?
Like, it's sad that Mary Phelan wasn't alive to actually see that they progressed the investigation.
And that they actually did do the dig there, because she was convinced that there was something there. But as I said, maybe they did find something, I don't know. But as you said,
I suppose the dig and all that mightn't have happened if it wasn't for Mary Phelan.
No.
You know, actually, probably wouldn't have. You know?
Yeah, wouldn't it have been lovely, like, for her to know? Maybe, look, please God, wherever she is, if you believe in that kind of
Yeah.
thing, she knows.
Yeah, I'd say Mary would be, she strikes me as a person who would have her wits about her. So when she was obviously told about this person, and obviously she was told about Larry Murphy and all, she was like definitely smart enough, I would think, to make the correct decision on who she thought it was. And
Yeah.
she would have to go with what Mary thought. Like,
Yeah.
I'd certainly highly respect their intelligence and opinion and all them things.
Yeah.
So you'd have to, I would trust Mary, is basically what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, she slept and ate that case, so she knew more about it than anything else.
And she's had private investigators investigate this person before and all, so she
Yeah.
has information, yeah.
So all we can do is hope now, Ciarán. So listen, thanks for coming on and chatting about that again and giving us your take on everything that's gone on so far.
Well, no, thanks, Neil, for having us on. Sorry I couldn't add more, but that's all we know, really, isn't it?
You know, we've kind of put it all together for everybody now, what we kind of know so far. And sure, obviously, if
Yeah.
there's any big breaks in it, we'll be back, as they say.
I was going to say, hopefully we come back to this case because
Yeah.
it'll be more progress. Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be coming back to it at some stage in the future with a positive ending.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, sure, we'll have you back on to talk about other cases
Oh,
because.
great. Thanks again. I'd definitely be happy to come back on.
Yeah, we will. Yeah, no, definitely. Right. Listen. Mind yourself, Ciarán, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
So, guys, that's it for today's episode of the Ireland Crimes and Mysteries podcast. Again, thanks for your listenership, and don't forget to subscribe to the show and hit that auto download so you never miss an episode. Until the next time, keep your eyes open and your mind curious. This podcast has been compiled from information gathered in the public sphere, like news articles, documentaries, and open source material that can be found on the web. Everything in this podcast is alleged unless a conviction has taken place.
You've been listening to Ireland Crimes and Mysteries. Join Newells for another episode coming real soon. And keep up to date by following our social media sites, our YouTube channel, and our website, islandcrimesandmysteries.ie.